The following is a recording from Maria Barona, as I advise, on Wednesday, October 29th, 2014, at 10 a.m. Central Time. This is the Gentera Third Quarter 2014 conference call. Good morning. My name is Katie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Gentera Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Instructions on how to ask a question will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I'd now like to turn the call over to Enrique Barrera of Gentera. Sir, please begin.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us today. Presenting today from Gentera is our management team, Mr. Carlos Danel, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Enrique Mayor, Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Chief Financial Officer, as well as myself, Enrique Barrera, Investor Relations Officer. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on the forward-looking statement can be found in the disclaimer located in the company's quarterly report, which was issued yesterday. To receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Thank you for your kind attention. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Danel, who will begin the presentation with a discussion of Gentera's results. Carlos, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning to everyone. As always, we appreciate your interest in Gentera, and we thank you for your continued participation in our conference call. As we finish the third quarter of 2014, we're excited that Gentera is getting closer to reaching 3 million clients. The great majority of the clients we serve are in our Mexican operations with Compartamos Banco. However, Compartamos Financiera in Peru and Compartamos Guatemala are expanding their customer base at a healthy clip. On a year-to-year basis, Gentera's total loan portfolio rose by 13%, our strongest figures this year so far, and in line with our expectation for the portfolio to grow around 17% for 2014. If we break it down by the various operations, Banco Compartamos portfolio rose 12%, Compartamos Financiera in Peru by 18%, and Guatemala by 30%. The group lending products, Crédito Mujer and Crédito Comerciante, once again take the leading position. Specifically, in Banco Compartamos, the group lending methodology rose by 18% on a year-to-year basis and account currently for 76% of the portfolio in Mexico. Growth in Crédito Crece Tu Negocio, or individual lending, for Mexico, as expected and as planned, focused on improving credit quality and consolidating its methodology. Even while we have seen a contraction in that portfolio for the year, asset quality improved significantly with NPLs for that product at 5%, down from 8% recently. Overall, NPLs in Gentera products remain within best practice and stand at 2.9%, down from 4.3% a year ago. I will let Enrique Mayor, head of our financial services, provide more detail in a few minutes. Now, in Peru, our client base experienced 28% growth to a total of 231,000 clients. Group lending in Peru has more than doubled in a year, now reaching 71,000 clients. We have expanded our service officers to a total of 56, an increase of 14 from a year ago. On the other hand, Guatemala remained with the same number of offices for the year, but managed to grow the portfolio by 30% based on the strong demand for Crédito Mujer. But perhaps the strongest note for this quarter has been Gentera's ability to control costs and deliver earnings. Better credit quality has meant less loan provisions, and operational efficiencies materialized from the past year's investments meant that operational expenses grew only at 9% on a yearly basis, while income grew at a stronger pace by almost 15%. This allowed for operating income to grow 24.8% compared with the third quarter of 2014 to a total of 1,158 million pesos. Net income grew by a whopping 110% compared to third quarter of 2013 thanks to non-recurring tax benefits realized this quarter. I will let Patricio Diaz provide more detail on our financial performance in a few minutes, but this quarter's strong performance is encouraging as the investments made in the years past start to bear its fruits. As you might recall, one of such investments has been the implementation of our new SAP core banking system. As of today, the rollout process has finished completely, and 100% of our service offices in Mexico are running SAP. This is a major accomplishment in such a complex project, and we feel extremely proud of having it achieved it on time and on budget. We're focused in materializing all the benefits of our new core banking system and expect to completely phase out the old system by the first quarter of 2015. Regarding our other subsidiaries, Aterna, our microinsurance broker, continues to expand life insurance business, selling 3.9 million policies this quarter. For the year, the total number of policies have reached over 10 million policies sold, and we expect the financial results from Aterna to improve significantly from 2013. Yasta, Quintero's correspondent network manager, has joined 1,721 affiliates to its network compared with 1,443 in the previous quarter. Today, these correspondents are making banking transactions for Compartamos Banco, and as the integration grows, we expect to understand better the path ahead to massify this service and build the base and the block for a savings product. All these results are consistent with our stated strategy for the past few years to transform Quintera from a single product, single country company to a multi-product, multi-country company. Now, to help us increase the pace in that strategy, we recently made a couple of acquisition and investments that are strategic for our future and that we want to share with you. The first transaction is the acquisition of 100% of the shares of Intermex, the remittance provider with 5.7% market share in the Mexican remittance market. As you well know, Mexico is one of the top recipient nations of remittances from the U.S., specifically to the market segment that Gentera serves. Our acquisition of Intermex will enable Gentera to include remittances into its product offering, providing better financial inclusion for our clients and setting the basis for competitive convenience savings services as well. It will also be a first step to include as our clients the migrant community in the U.S., which is typically underserved with financial services and which can potentially be a source of future growth for Gentera. We signed the SPA last October 15th and expect to get regulatory approvals by the end of this year to be able to close this transaction. In 2015, we will then implement an integration process to start materializing the benefits of this acquisition. Now, the second investment we would like to share is a minority investment in Mimoni, a Mexican startup in the online lending space. Digital financial services, particularly for the base of the pyramid clients, is potentially a game changer for the industry. And Gentera is actively looking for innovation that will place us in the leading edge of this transformation. While these are still relatively small efforts, through our investment in Mimoni and other potential future transactions, we're looking to build an innovation portfolio that helps us lead into digital financial services for the future. We expect that as Mimoni grows and validates its business model, we can increase our investment with the goal of eventually acquiring majority stake and integrate it into our core product offering. And finally, I want to share a couple of rating achievements in these past few months. On October 9th, Standard & Poor's Rating Services confirmed its global scale long-term BBB and short-term A2 issuer credit ratings for Banco Compartamos. And at the same time, the agency affirmed its national scale long-term of AAA and short-term MXA1+ rating on the bank. The agency cited that the ratings in Compartamos reflect its adequate business position, its very strong capital earnings, its moderate risk position, and below average funding and adequate liquidity, as our criteria to define the terms. Needless to say, we're very pleased with the fact that two rating agencies Fitch and now S&P have granted investment grade on a global scale. In this quarter as well, we were certified by the Smart Campaign for adhering to client protection principles in responsible finance. These principles and standards laid out by the Smart Campaign constitute the highest bar in client protection for the microfinance industry, and Compartamos is one of only 22 institutions worldwide certified so far. We feel proud of this achievement, as it is a third-party validation of the value to place clients in the center of all we do. We encourage you to look up the website for the Smart Campaign and to learn about the client protection principles and standards that we adhere to. So as we close this quarter, we feel confident that despite the challenging environment this year in Mexico and elsewhere, we're well on our way to reach the goals we set in our annual guidance. Our focus remains to eradicate financial exclusion, and every step we take and every investment that we make will bring us closer to our purpose. Thank you again for your attention. I will now turn the call over to Enrique Mayos to review the performance of our financial services operations.
Thank you, Carlos. And thank you all for attending today's Gentera's report. Before getting into specifics, it is important to point out that Gentera's and Compartamos operations and results are in line with our commitments and expectations. Our evolution to a multi-product and multi-country company has required very relevant changes and investments in our business model, and we are clearly seeing the benefit from them. Even though there is still a lot to do, we can report very good progress in many ways. As Carlos has mentioned, we successfully conclude the rollout of Integra, our SAP new platform. We are still migrating some remaining customers that are about to renew their loans in their new system. However, 100% of our branches are now operating on an improved platform that will allow us to provide better products and services to our customers. As we have also mentioned, this year we have been working on developing a new operational model that is allowing us to be more efficient in the way we run our business units and the support and synergies that we can receive from Gentera's head offices. Let me now point out some of the business results as of the third quarter of the year. Patricio will explain deeply the financial results. However, I will only mention that profit grew above expectations. It is important to understand that this increase has to do with some business decisions and strategies, but also with other non-recurrent events that should not be considered as business as usual for the future results. Our portfolio grew 13% compared with the third quarter of 2013, reaching 23.4 billion pesos. The growth is in line with our guidance, since we know that the seasonality of the business usually shows an important increase in the last quarter of the year. As we anticipated since the beginning of this year, we have improved the quality of our portfolio. In a complicated year for many players in Mexico, Compartamos Banco has decreased NPLs from 4.2% to 2.2% in a year-to-year basis, and Gentera, considering Peru and Guatemala business units, has decreased from 4.3% to 2.9% within the same period. Two critical ingredients to obtain this result are our focus on preserving and executing our methodology and the knowledge of the market and our customer needs. It is important to mention that, as we anticipated last quarter, we are delivering controlled and healthy results on NPLs for our individual lending product in Mexico. NPLs for this product dropped from 8% to 5.1% since its higher point at the end of the first quarter of 2014. Just as a reminder, we have said the natural NPL for this product should be between 5 and 7% considering it good, to consider it in good shape so we feel comfortable at the actual level. As we also mentioned last quarter, in Mexico's operations, we decided to consolidate two different sales forces into one. In the past, we had one specialized sales force for Crédito Crece Mejora product, and during this year, we consolidated it into the same Crédito Mujer loan officers team. This brought us a staff reduction of around 800 people in average during the year, and 94 million pesos in cost reduction for the last two quarters. And speaking about customer base growth, we can observe an integrated 3% growth for the three countries on a year-to-year basis. Peru had an important 28% growth, mainly due to the successful expansion of our group lending product. Guatemala had a 5% growth. Since we mentioned before, we are in a consolidated process for the methodology there. And speaking about Mexico, we had a marginal 1.4% customer growth year to year due to a decrease on the individual lending customer base, which is a natural consequence of putting in place controlling measures of the portfolio quality for that product. In addition, we have had a slower increase in the group lending customer base. For the future, we see that the growth can increase again based on the reactivation of the Mexican economy, and we will also have a portfolio growth based on the increase of the share of wallet of new and current customers. Finally, let me give you a quick overview on our international operations in Guatemala and Peru. Guatemala has already over 65,000 customers, and after an aggressive growth period, we are now in a controlling phase in this market, expecting to reactivate our growth by the first quarter of 2015. In Peru, we have also had an important growth, and by the end of last quarter, we already had over 71,000 customers with a group loan. As we have said, there is a strategic purpose for our presence in those two countries: financial inclusion in markets underserved because of the lack of a group lending methodology is a priority for us, in addition to the cross-fertilization of knowledge between individual and group lending methodologies. I will now open the space for Patricio, who will go through the financial specifics of Gentera. Not without saying before that we feel comfortable that we will fulfill our goals for the year. Go ahead, Patricio.
Thank you, Enrique. I will briefly review Gentera's results before we enter to the Q&A session. As such, Gentera interest income increased by 14.8%, surpassing portfolio growth. This was the result of the average portfolio growth of the quarter, as well as the result of the new pricing strategy that was implemented at Banco Compartamos for certain products in order to better reflect the cost associated to each portfolio. Gentera's portfolio yield stood at 66.2%. Interest expense increased by only 2 million or 1% compared with the previous quarter, despite an 18% growth in liabilities. This reflects an improvement in the funding cost, and as a result, NIM for the third quarter also improved to 54%, slightly higher than the 53% reported in the third quarter of 2013. Provision for loan losses reached 468 million pesos during this quarter. This was 14.4% higher when compared with the third quarter of 2013. It is important to mention, for the full year, provisions grew only by 3%, despite a 13% larger portfolio. This is a result of a better asset quality and the provision change that resulted in approximately 150 million lower provisioning requirements for the year. Due to the aforementioned, NIM after provision reached 46.7%, an improvement when compared with the 46% in the third quarter of 2013. Commission and fee income during the quarter decreased 14.8% to 225 million pesos. fee for late payments of delinquent customers, commissions generated as Compartamos Financiera, as well as fees that came through the Yastat network represent this amount. Commission and fee expenses increased 2.5% or 4 million pesos to 165 million compared with the third quarter of 2013. This result was due to the fees adjustment charged by third parties as well as fee costs related to the operation of Yastat. Other operating income declined by 12 million. This line item reflects the non-recurring income or expenses, which for the third quarter were mainly driven by donations, equipment sales, as well as expenses associated with the recovery of delinquent loans. Operating expenses increased only by 9% versus the third quarter of 2013. You reflect the strong cost control process that we have implemented through the year. Salaries and benefits still represent 61% of these operating expenses. Expenses related to the infrastructure of over 620 service offices in Mexico, Guatemala, and Peru represented 17% of the operating expenses, while other strategic projects such as savings and IT represented 18% of this line item. As a result, efficiency for the group improved to 62.7% from 65.7% reported last year. As you can see, the actions taken to control every line of the P&L during the year caused operating income growth of 25% during the quarter, reflecting the efforts taken by the company to streamline the operations. Finally, after the secondary laws for the fiscal reform were published in July, we have complete clarity of the following two benefits. First, we deducted from taxes the loss incurred after the sale of written-off loans for the years 2010, 11, and 13, which resulted in 347 million pesos benefit in the quarter. Secondly, on the provisioning side, where we now deduct from taxes written off loans, and in this quarter we had a deferred tax benefit of 179 million pesos that was not shown in the first half of the year because it was not 100% certain that we could deduct from taxes the full amount. As they are not recurring, these two items will not be included in the annual guidance expectation for consequent periods. As a result, guidance for 2014 will remain unchanged, since we still aim for the higher end only of the recurring operations to reach or even surpass the 1.54 to 1.59 earning per share range that we provided last year. Due to these actions, the effective tax rate for the group in 2014 will be in the mid-20s range. However, going forward, and after the fiscal reform, the effective tax rate would stabilize in the mid-30s range as it was in 2012, previous to the sale of written-off loans. Excluding these two non-recurring items, net income grew by 20% when compared with the recurring net income of third quarter of 2013 and 24.5% when comparing with the first 9 months of 2014, with the first 9 months of 2013. Thank you for your attention. We are now ready for the Q&A. Operator, could you please begin?
Thank you, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. That is star one on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. Again, that is star one for questions. Our first question will come from Carlos Maquito from Goldman Sachs.
I have two questions. First, on On the group lending, the Crédito Mujer product, we did see a little bit of an acceleration in growth there, which is consistent with what you were saying in the last quarter, but also saw an increase in the NPL ratio for that specific product. I just wanted to get an idea if, you know, a little more color on the back of that increase. Is that something that was very specific to this quarter? Is it more competition? Where do you expect, you know, as you grow and you know, accelerate growth in this product, what do you expect the NPL ratio for it, and how do you expect it to evolve? Second question is regarding your guidance for the year. Patricio, you basically confirmed that you should be at the high end of that guidance. Given that typically the fourth quarter is a strong quarter for you, it would have to be a very poor quarter for you to be even at the high end of that guidance. Is it likely that you beat it by, I mean, you talked about being above it. Do you still have a positive view for the fourth quarter given, you know, the month that you've already seen in October?
Okay, let me jump into that one, Carlos. This is Patricio. Yes, of course, I mean, we're not changing the guidance. However, as we said last quarter, the recurring business, we were aiming to be at the high end. But as I mentioned in my presentation, we are even thinking in surpassing this. Since we are reporting monthly figures to the CNBV, we don't see any reason to change guidance at this point, since you have full visibility of how we're doing on a month-by-month basis. So, yes, we expect to have, as always, a strong fourth quarter for the year. So, yes, there's. I mean, we really think that both the recurring and non-recurring net income guidance will be surpassed.
And Carlos, regarding your question about NPLs, I just remember that group lending methodology includes two products, Crédito Mujer and Crédito Comerciante. I believe that you are referring to the Crédito Comerciante because Crédito Mujer has improved in a very important way the NPLs. Actually, NPLs for the two products decreased from 3.7% to 1.9% in a year-to-year basis. But speaking about Crédito Comerciante, which I believe is your concern, I can tell you that Crédito Comerciante has NPLs of 3.4%, which is in line with our guidance. We have said before that the group lending products have to be between 3 and 5% if we want to maintain them in a natural range, in a healthy range. Crédito Comerciante has been growing in a very aggressive way during the year, and therefore it is natural to expect that higher NPL levels are going to take place there, since there's a higher mix of new groups which naturally have higher NPLs compared with the more consolidated groups. When you have a group, in the first loan you provide to that group, you have higher NPLs, and while that group continues working together and renewing the loans, they get better in terms of the quality of the members, and therefore the NPLs go down. And also, let's remember that Crédito Comerciante is a product that allows customers to get into smaller groups, which naturally will have always a higher risk profile than Crédito Mujer. So, I don't know. I think that's not an important concern for us. We are within the guidance for that kind of product. And yes, we have having a slightly increase on Crédito Comerciante, but I believe that's a natural consequence of the growth we have been having during the year.
Thank you. I didn't speak. It was Crédito Comerciante. Talking about the Crédito Mujer, the outlook remains the same as you laid out in the previous earnings release, with a stronger growth coming into 2015, and you do not see competition providing any obstacles to that cycle at the current time.
That's right. We believe we are on the same page that we provided last conference. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the call. A couple questions. First, on expenses, we could see a bit of a slowdown, at least on a year-over-year basis. You know, as your strategic investments kind of begin to pay off and maybe you slow down these investments. What kind of growth should we kind of expect in expenses, going into next year? I mean, was the slowdown this quarter more just because you did a lot of the investments in the first half of the year and you kind of slowed down in the second half? Or how should we think about expenses kind of going into next year and potential improvements to efficiency? And then the second question in terms of the growth by different products, as you mentioned, you had strong growth in the Crédito Comerciante, and you're slowing down still on the Créditos Individuales. So should that trend continue given the asset quality deterioration you saw a bit in the Crédito Comerciante? Do you think the growth trends by segment could kind of shift into next year? Just kind of getting a thought by the different segments, what kind of growth do you expect into next year? Thank you.
Okay, Tito, let me jump into the expenses side. As we mentioned, we were aiming to have a mid-60s efficiency ratio for this year and next. It's something that we haven't changed. Of course, to this year, you see some benefit because margins have increased due to lower cost of funds as well as lower provisioning. For next year, should again, as you mentioned, as we start to post the depreciation of, for example, SAP, you will still see some pressure on the expenses side. However, the idea is to make more income with the platform that we already have implemented. So, in terms of efficiency, you should think in the mid-60s range still, as we mentioned, for a couple of years now, with a declining trend as it's seen this year again. And this year, the biggest impact, as Enrique mentioned, was the consolidation of two sales forces in Banco Compartamos, right? We had a specialized sales force for each product category. Crédito Crece y Mejora Salesforce was merged into Crédito Mujeres, and that resulted an important benefit for this year. So we'll still need to see how the operation looks like with this type of improvement in how we do business. Further actions like that will be seen or could be seen next year, and with that in mind, again, as I said, we want to have a declining trend in the efficiency ratio that for the coming years it will still in the mid-60s range.
Tito, and regarding the Crédito Individual and group lending product growth, I can tell you that we have been having good results in the strategy of controlling Crédito Individual, as you mentioned. We can look this if we see the NPLs. We have had a very important improvement in NPLs and Crédito Individual, so that tells us that we have been doing a pretty good job there. We are in the process of consolidating those measures in terms of training, in terms of reducing the turnover of our loan officers. And we believe that we will spend some months, let's say maybe one or two more quarters consolidating this, but by the second half of next year, we can expect that we will start growing again in a more clear way in Crédito Individual. And talking about Crédito Mujer and Crédito Comerciante, the group lending products, we believe that for the first quarter of next year, we will see the growth that we have been expecting and we have been communicating in our guidance.
Thank you. It's very helpful.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jose Barrera from Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. I have two questions. The first one is going back to asset quality. We also saw some deterioration in the Peruvian operations. The NPL ratio went up by about 90 basis points. Just want to get your thoughts on what's driving that. If it's more of a macro thing or if it's a mix impact. So that would be the first one. And second, if we could get some more information on the acquisitions that you've made. Just want to get a sense on valuation that was paid for both and sort of what the immediate strategy would be and what the benefits are in the short term to you. And going back to a comment that was made earlier with regards to targeting clients or immigrant, clients in the U.S., does that mean that you will set up banking operations in the U.S., or is it more other types of services through this Intermex, Pagos Intermex subsidiary? Thank you.
Okay, Jose, thank you. Let me start with the NPLs in Peru. As you mentioned, we believe that this is a mix of two things. So just don't forget that we have said that if we have between 5 and 7% of NPLs, it's a natural level for the individual products, and 3 to 5% is natural for the group lending products. In Peru, we have an average of 6% of NPLs in the individual lending, which is in good shape, and 2.1% in the group lending. However, we recognize that NPLs in Peru has increased due to the slowdown in the economy in a high competitive industry that we know we have there. So we are putting in place measures related with sales force consolidation, stronger credit scoring capabilities, stronger training, stronger controls to execute our methodology. And as we can see, individual lending products in Peru is going into a controlling phase, and we don't expect an aggressive growth for the first half of 2015.
Thank you, Jose. This is Carlos. And regarding our the two acquisitions that we just spoke about, in the case of Intermex, again, it's our first foray into remittances. So the first thing that we expect to do out of this acquisition is to start integrating those products to our current Mexican clients. We do not expect in the short term to be setting up banking services in the U.S., but Intermex itself is a first step into understanding the needs of also migrant clients in the U.S. that, as I mentioned, are frequently underserved. So potentially for the future, that could be an avenue of growth for Gentera, but in the short term, we do not expect to offer anything else than the remittance services that we now are able to do so through Intermex. Regarding the valuation, we provided some information in our press release that we paid for 100% of the shares of Intermex, around 210 million pesos, which is around a 6x EBITDA valuation on that company. Regarding Limoni, it's a smaller investment. It's an investment of around $8 million to, again, in a very early stage startup of online lending in Mexico. We are excited that this is a potential game changer in terms of our first foray into digital financial services. We understand that in the medium to long term, base of the pyramid clients are going to start to consume more products and services digitally, as the rest of the market segments have shown, essentially because they increasingly have better access to mobile devices and to smartphones. So it is, again, part of a broader strategy of building an innovation portfolio within Gentera that can potentially transform the way we do business and can also allow us to reach other sub-segments of the market that we serve in a more efficient way. So that's regarding the two investments and acquisitions.
I see. Thank you very much. With regards to your acquisition strategy or your growth strategy, should we expect to see more types of deals in this nature, sort of new products or new services that you're trying to offer your clientele, or should we see you growing or expanding inorganically more in the traditional lending part of your business?
I think both, and what we want to kind of leverage from is our ability to grow organically, which is what we've done traditionally. But again, we're very actively looking for other growth opportunities through different acquisitions, and as they come and materialize, we'll advise the market about them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from BBVA Bank.
Hi, good morning, and congrats on the good dynamics at the operating level. Most of my questions have been answered, so I just have a couple of questions. Do you have plans to organically expand to other Central American countries, such as your case in Guatemala? And for the second one, with the financial reform on its track, have you perceived some changes regarding the share of information of credit research agencies or Universal Credit Bureau? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ernesto. This is Enrique. Yes, regarding Central America and Guatemala, as we have said, our strategy is to go to other countries and to provide this group lending methodology to places in where they don't have this kind of product is one of the major tasks that we have for the future. Guatemala has been the first step to understand and know how international markets can work and how can we operate there. So even if we don't have anything specific in other countries now in Central America that we could tell you about, but yes, our intention for the future in this strategy is to continue developing and deploying this kind of methodology for other countries in the region.
And in terms of the financial reform, Ernesto, of course, one of the most important aspects to us was the strengthening of the credit bureaus. This is something that still needs to materialize. It's something that will take, it would expect to fully materialize in the medium term. So I think we're heading into the right direction. And in order to get that, it will take some time. But, of course, it's a strong feature that will help us to analyze the credit worthiness of each individual much better going forward.
Thank you very much, Enrique and Patricia.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Chris Delgado from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. One just kind of relates to the extra income you guys generated from the tax benefit. Do you guys see any possibility of paying an extraordinary dividend at the end of the year as a result of it? That's my first question.
Okay, in terms of the dividend policy that was approved in 2012 said that we could pay an extraordinary dividend if the financials of the third quarter show above 30% of capitalization in the bank. We are today at 30% capitalization in the bank, so there's no money for an extraordinary dividend for this year end. So dividend, again, at 40% of 2014 earnings should be proposed in the shareholder meeting in April and will be paid on May.
Okay, great. And then my second question just relates to fees. It's been tracking pretty high above, what your guidance has. Could you talk a little bit about what's been driving, that excess fee growth and then just kind of your thoughts on fee growth for the future, if it's sustainable?
Right. In terms of the fee business, again, you need to bear in mind that comes from three sources. First is Yastas. So as Yastas sells not only airtime, but do financial transactions through this network, fee income should increase going forward. That's, I would say, the biggest fee source for the group in the medium to long run. Secondly, is delinquent customers that want to reestablish their loan with Banco Compartamos are penalized, so that's a fee income. So as NPL remain under control, that income shouldn't increase as fast. And thirdly is the insurance business. Aterna generates fees, so as long as we develop new products, not only for life insurance, but some other insurance products, that fee income should also increase. So net-net, what you should expect is that the fee income going forward should be higher than the fee expense that we pay to third parties.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Juan Lopez from BTG.
Hi, good morning. Congratulations on the results, and thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to clarify the impact you had on the fiscal changes. Were those only related to the tax line of the P&L, right? You didn't have any impact in provisions?
No, I mean, on the fiscal side, yes. Most of the impact of what I mentioned in my presentation was at the tax level. 347 million pesos of deductibles from the sale of written off loans. And secondly, we now deduct from taxes also the written off loans of the previous year. So net, we have 520 million pesos of tax benefit that is seen on the tax front. On the provisioning side, what we had, you remember, in the first quarter, we changed the way we provision for the individual lending product. Previously, we had a more conservative approach to this product, since we didn't have more information about this product category and their behavior under stress test. So we had like 300% of provisioning level there. We changed it to 200, which is still conservative, and this is why this year we haven't provisioned much. If you see the first 9 months of the year, provisioning only grew by 3% this year.
Yes, and in addition to that, the improvement in the NPLs in the last quarter also shows a less expense in provisions.
Yeah, that was related to my second question. How do you see provisions as a percentage of portfolio going forward?
As a percentage of portfolio should be between 7 and 8%. I mean, of course, it will depend on the asset quality. Their coverage ratio should range between, around 180%.
Okay, that's very helpful. And maybe if you can give any color on how are you seeing loan growth so far in October, if you are seeing already a significant sequential improvement.
I believe that we will be in line with our expectations. We have several products running in several stages, each of them, and in several countries, but net-net, I could tell you that at the end, we are going to be in line with our expectations.
Okay, and the last one is on Intermex. You said you paid 6x yield to EBITDA?
Correct.
And in price earnings, what that figure would be?
We haven't disclosed that, but we probably will
provide a bit more detail on our next report.
I mean, we need to finalize the transaction, get the approval from the regulators. So once we have all the details fully authorized by the authorities, we'll disclose every detail. Today, what I can say, it's six-time EBITDA. It's more or less what represents these 210 million pesos that we expect to invest in this company.
But it's clearly, when you look at the price to earnings, it's a smaller multiple than what Gentera trades at.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lillian Stark of Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, and congratulations on the results. I have two questions. The first one is, if you could provide some color regarding the competition environment in Mexico. I know that group lending tends to be the part where you see more competition. If you have seen that revamped over the past quarters of you, or if you expect some sort of revamp over the next quarters. And then my second question would be regarding your Yastas business. You have now like around 1,700 affiliates with CNBV approval. How much of your clients are using this system to do their payments, or is it currently other type of transactions that you're seeing are being done in Yastas? And also on this same point, how many states do you have operating Yastas right now, and what sort of rollover do you expect on this division? Thank you.
Sure, thank you. And regarding competition, I could tell you that this year for everyone in the industry, the focus has been on quality of the portfolio. This year has been difficult for many of us, and since we have had to maintain the quality of our portfolio and at the same time continue offering financial services customers, this has been a task that has been showing the steps that we should follow all the players in the industry. However, players focusing on the customer needs are the ones who will truly work on the running and growing their businesses, and I believe that, like in many industries, consolidation of the best players will take place over time.
Yes, and on Yastas, currently, as you've mentioned, we have a bit over 1,700 of the affiliates that are approved by the CNBV to do financial transactions. We're operating currently on 10 states, and we expect that to continue to year 2015, in which we're, again, still testing, not at a phase in which we are massifying national coverage in Yastas and still trying to perfect the business model. Regarding the number of clients that currently transact in Yastas, to give you an example, for the end of the year, we're aiming and we're getting close to having about 9,000 financial transactions per month in the network. Again, that's still at the early phase of what we expect this network to do, but we're being very conservative in terms of how we bring about our clients to do the financial transactions there, and to most of all, ensure that we provide good service and security for those transactions. So about 9,000 transactions per month is what we're doing now.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Gustavo Lobo from BTG Pactual.
Hi. Most of my questions have actually already been answered, but just one follow-up regarding capital and dividends. You've mentioned that you do not foresee an extraordinary dividend as BIS ratio is at 30%. But going forward, 30% is still a pretty high level. So I was just wondering what would make the bank comfortable in operating potentially with a lower BIS ratio. Do you see room for that and this maybe getting more leverage in the medium term, or increasing payout ratio in the medium term? What would lead for that? Maybe improvement in the funding profile. If you could give us some color regarding that, not for 2014, but going forward, I believe. Thank you.
Yes, so what we've said in the past, and we could expand that, is that we think we can lower the capital rate that we aim for when we are able to mobilize savings in a way that it can potentially fund our balance sheet. So as long as we rely on wholesale credit markets, we believe that 30% is an adequate level. As we, move along mobilizing savings and massify that service, we believe that we can be more aggressive.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's clear.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Ferretti from Bradesco.
Hi. I have only one question on credit individual. If you could, your portfolio grew a lot in the past, and you have been reducing it, controlling delinquents. Can you tell us a little bit when you think you're going to be ready again to grow in this particular line, and what kind of size do you think this specific portfolio can reach in your overall credit portfolio? Thank you.
Sure, Carlos. As you can see, the portfolio of credit individual in Mexico has decreased around 30% in the last year. That was because we are working on the quality of that portfolio. And as I told you before, we believe that the consolidation process will finish by the end of the first quarter of next year. So the expectation for 2015 is to go for that 30% that we decreased in the last year and take it in the next year. So that's the growth that we are expecting in average for 2015.
But going a little bit to the future, what size do you think this portfolio can reach in your overall portfolio? It's going to be always a smaller portfolio, or it can become more sizable?
I mean, today it has decreased as a percentage of the loan portfolio. We think that it could go back to the 10 to 15% range going forward, so gaining share from the group lending methodologies. So this trend, our recomposition of the portfolio in the next year, is something that could be expected.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Boris Molina from Santander.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of questions. The first one, could you talk us a little bit about the rationale for the acquisition of the internet lending operation? Is this something that you intend to use to service your existing clients, or do you think it is possible to go for a broader market in Mexico? No? And secondly, how does this business work? You know, because when you're thinking about originating loans through internet, you know, you would have to have some sort of parametrization of credit risk or somehow to be able to identify clients. Is this something that, you know, do you think that there is a infrastructure in Mexico to be able to have systems add some value in the decision-making process that would allow you to have a product that does not rely on personal contact and a lot of people actually knocking on the doors and talking to people and actually getting them to pay back, no? Because if you look at the experience in credit individual, you're writing off like 30% of your loans, you know, it could be pretty dramatic, no? And we know that in Mexico and many countries, the legal systems and the culture of payment is pretty weak, no? So just walk us through, you know, what is the thinking behind this, and is this something that actually can transform your business model, or what are your plans?
Thank you, Boris. As I mentioned, Limón is part of a broader strategy in which we're trying to build an innovation portfolio within Gentera in order to eventually transform our services to digital financial services. So the first part of the answer, I guess, to your question is that we see our incursion into digital financial services both as a way to grow into adjacent markets as well as eventually ways to transform the way that we deliver the products to our clients. The precise and exact way that will play out, I think it's too early to tell. A lot of these innovations are still at the very early stage, and a lot of them actually need to prove themselves in a way that they can be acquired by customers as a product that better fits their needs. So there's a lot of experimentation going on and innovation going on around these areas. So a lot of the answers, I guess, are still to be seen. Specifically in terms of online lending, it's no secret that those that are trying to innovate in online lending are essentially using big data to construct prediction models of repayment capacity for clients. And that, I guess, is the big bet. Can we acquire and process enough information to, produce algorithms that predict repayment capacity in a way that can be massifiable and that can control risk? And again, I think these are innovations, these are experiments that still need to be seen, and that's why we're doing these relatively small investments, sometimes as a minority shareholder, to really try to learn and to accompany these startups in their way of really proving that there is a different way to provide financial services in the digital world, and potentially, if this works out, could really transform the way we do our business.
Wonderful, thank you. Now, just an additional question on regulation. Do you foresee any type of impact from liquidity coverage or net stable funding ratios implementation in Mexico in the medium term?
Not really, Boris. We tested and analyzed the entire regulation, and we don't see anything that worries us at this time.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you again. We are now holding for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 at this time. We do have a follow-up question from Jose Barrera from Bank of America.
Hi, gentlemen. Just very quickly, a follow-up on NIM. I'm seeing some good trends here with funding cost, improving, and it looks like you're raising rates on your products as you sort of slow down or restrict the supply of credit in certain products. But given how the balances worked out in this system, we saw a decline in NIM. So the question is, that phenomenon we saw in the quarter, was that just more of a balance issue? I saw that you took some interbank loans and you increased the cash, and that maybe dragged down the total NIM. But as we look forward, shouldn't we see NIM improving given the sort of some of the trends that we're seeing, and what is your target there? Thank you.
Yes, Jose, this is Patricio. Yeah, you could expect for the coming quarters a slight improvement in NIM. We are still refinancing expensive bonds with cheaper ones, so cost of funds should continue to trend down. Again, as we said, specifically the Crédito Comerciante product has a different price structure than Crédito Mujer. So as Crédito Comerciante grows in the size of the portfolio, that should bring also the active rate a little bit above where it is today. So having these two considerations in mind, and until a further increase could happen in Mexico, means should be improving for the coming quarters.
I see. That's great. Can you just give us a refresher on where you are on the bonds? Of funding costs you're getting from the market now, or the latest issuance versus what you've had in the past?
Yes, we repaid 2010 bonds in October. It was TIIE plus 130 basis points. We refinanced it in June with a TIIE plus 40 basis points. So we got 90 bps with that refinancing, right? Plus the 50 bps cut that the Banco de Mexico did in June that was not materialized in the previous quarter. So we're talking about 140, 150 basis points of improvement simply because of that.
I see. Okay, we can offline. I can maybe get a schedule of the other maturities and or cost where you are, and if you're looking to refinance those as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'm Showing no further questions, I'll now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Carlos Dana for closing remarks.
Well, again, thank you for your time. As always, we expect to have a strong fourth quarter of 2014 and to continue in our strategy to provide financial services to low-income clients throughout Latin America in a massive scale, and to provide financial inclusion for many in the region. Again, thank you for your attention, and good day.